Her face was unreadable.
"I'm sorry if I've displeased you, Master," he said.
"You haven't displeased me at all, Shigar. I am simply tired. Like you, I wish a speedy resolution to these times."
"But not through war."
"Not if it can be avoided, no. I understand that you don't see it this way, though. You are a product of your time."
He started, recognizing her words from the vision he'd had on Sabaddon. "I know what you're about to say," he said. "I've seen it. You're about to tell me that I must confront the times ahead with great care. But I've already said that, so now maybe you won't."
She smiled. "It's disconcerting when what you've seen doesn't quite turn out the way it's supposed to."
That was true.
The conversation had already headed off in a different direction, thanks to his intervention. Next, she was supposed to warn him that the Sith were the enemy, and he shouldn't become like them in order to beat them.
"So the future isn't always laid in stone?"
"No. And I am glad of that sometimes, Shigar." She put a hand on his shoulder and guided him toward the door. "You will learn to be too, I think."
She did seem tired. He wished there was something he could do to make her feel better. But how could he, a lowly Padawan, understand or even begin to shoulder the heavy load she was under? Again, a spark of predestination told him that he was brushing closely against something seen in the past.
"Be kind, Shigar."
Had she meant herself all along? Had all his agonizing about Lorin been for nothing? Then another thought occurred to him. "Some roads are harder than yours have been." Were the words so far left unspoken for him to consider now? She was talking about him.
As they left the audience chamber, he decided that it was okay to feel torn. In fact, he should get used to it. There were serious challenges to come, whether the High Counselors succeeded with their diplomatic efforts or not. In a universe that demanded black and white, he would settle for gray. And when he passed his trials, he would talk to Master Trelis in private. If 1,000 Jedi Knights really felt as he did, there would be hope when diplomacy failed.
Chapter 49. Darth Howl, Dark Lord of the Sith, was less imposing on second meeting than he had been the first time. He wore a black uniform, lacking both insignias and trophies, and Axe interpreted that to mean he wasn't out to impress. That he had asked to meet her in private on his personal hunting range on Dromund Kos, she took as a mixed sign.
"Pick a rifle," he said,
indicating an extensive collection lining the wall of his study.
"Follow me onto the deck."
Axe selected an antique weapon with a stock made of bone. Its charge was full and its sights perfectly aligned. She bet herself Darth Howl kept them all that way, and not just for show. She was right. The deck was an extensive viewing platform overlooking dense tropical terrain that had been cleared in patches, allowing an unobstructed line of sight to the undergrowth. The sun was at its zenith above the clouds. Conditions were as good as they would ever be on the Imperial capital. Darth Howl rang a bell. Somewhere in the trees, a cage door rattled open.
"I brought you here, Eldon Axe,"
he said as he raised his own rifle.